Good evening. It's good to see us out. Plenty of fresh faces I see. And it's good to have you. I was going to say it's raining out there and it's good to be in here and it's not raining. But actually it's raining down this wall here again. So I don't know about that. We'll have to sort that out. But it's good to see you, and I hope you enjoy fellowship tonight with us. The only announcement that I want to give is Tuesday is our Bible study prayer meeting. So everything else is on as normal. But 7:30 on Tuesday night is our Bible study and prayer meeting. So please come along to that in the hall. Don't have any other main announcements. I was just going to say, I know there's been a number of people who have asked me just about the pastor's farewell and arrangements for that. So we will announce that next week. I know that's going to embarrass Pastor Nestor. Apologies for that. Can't help. But anyway, next week, next Sunday, we'll have some more information about that, so you're able to find out what we're doing about that and what's happening. So these are all the announcements. Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. It's good to see you in church. I thought as Drew was telling us about the water coming down the wall, he missed a real opportunity for a showers of blessing joke. That was a groan, wasn't it? Anyway, we're glad you're in church tonight. We're going to start, as we usually do, with a few songs. And the first one we're going to sing is Men of Faith, Rise Up and Sing. It's probably a while since we've sung this one, but we've definitely done it before. I don't know if you've ever thought about why we sing in church. We sing, obviously, to praise God. That's purpose number one, to sing. But we sing to encourage each other as well, as Christians. And this song is a song about encouraging each other as men of faith. And the second verse says, rise up, women of the truth. And the third verse says, rise up, church. So just think about that as we sing through these three verses. And I'll get you to stand to sing. Let's stand.
Men of faith, rise up and sing, for the great and glorious King. You are strong when you feel weak, in your brokenness complete. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior.
Yeah.
take your seats. Let's just pause for a word of prayer at the start of our service. Our Lord, we thank you for this, your day. We thank you that you've given us this day where we can focus on you and stop from the busyness of our week and come together as your people, as your church, and to worship you and to encourage each other. And Lord, we thank you that you're with us here tonight in this building. We thank you that you will meet with us, Lord, and we pray that you will accept of our praises, Lord. And as we come around your word later on, we pray that you'd speak to us. We pray you'd be with our pastor, just help him to share what you've laid on his heart, Lord. And we pray that you would speak into our hearts and help us to see what we need to change in our lives to be more like the Lord Jesus. So be with us in all of our service, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to do a new one now. I can see the fear on your faces, okay. But if you've been at Connect, you've sung it before, all right. We did this in our Connect weekend back in November, I think. By the way, quick plug for Connect. Connect is open to anybody over 18. It's just a time of fellowship where you can come along and meet with us a couple of times a month and just encourage each other. So keep an eye out for it on the announcements. But this one's called There Is One Gospel on Which I Stand. And it makes me think of, do you know the children's song, One Way God Said to Get to Heaven? That's like the children's simple version of realizing that there's one way to Christ. This is a hymn that's kind of built on that same idea, and that line repeats through it, there is one gospel on which I stand. So I'll let you keep your seats, and we'll sing through the first verse, and we'll stop at that point. You sing along with us, and then we'll stop and check everybody's okay. All right? And then we'll get you to stand and sing. All right? So it's really simple, okay? You'll get that tune, no problem at all. Let's stand and we'll sing it through. There's four verses.
Safely, Lord. take your seats. I'm sure if you were here this morning, you were really encouraged with what Andrew shared with us, just from the passage in Lamentations. And just that, I suppose, all of us in getting the news about our pastor, I suppose there's uncertain times maybe ahead for us as a church. And as we've been choosing the songs tonight, we've kind of been thinking about how this is a time for us to build each other up, to encourage each other, and to stand united. And just this afternoon, I was reading a little book, and it was Harold Vaughan, and he wrote these words. It's talking about Jesus, obviously. He is the water in your dry places. He is the balm in your broken places. He is your substance in the weary places. He is your protector in the dark places. He is your shelter in the stormy places. He is your hope in your hopeless places. He is with you. And it reminded me of the little verse back in Deuteronomy 31:8, where the Lord tells us that he will never leave us or forsake us, and we do not need to be afraid or discouraged. I think that's good encouragement for us as a church, that if we know the Lord Jesus, he will lead us through maybe what is uncertain to us, because he has a greater plan in all of it. And we're going to glorify him by singing Above All Powers. I'll let you keep your seats if you sing well.
Above all powers, above all names, above all nature and all created things, above all Israel and all the ways of man, you came before the world began, above all kingdoms.
Before a pastor comes is O Jesus Christ, grow thou in me. It's a good old day, and I love the words of it because it reminds us that we are to grow small, and we are to remember that we are sinners saved by God's grace. And really, so often in life, I think we maybe try to want our way or our opinions, and even in just as we think as a church fellowship of going forward, we need God to be in the midst of everything that we need to do. And we need to seek him, and we need to become more like him individually and as a church to grow closer to him. So let's stand together and sing this before a pastor comes to speak.
Shall we bow together for a word of prayer? Let's pray, please. Our Heavenly Father, as we come into your house, we thank you that we don't only come into the presence of one another, we come into the very presence of a thrice holy God. And we thank you, Lord, that where your word says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, then there am I in the midst of them. And we thank you, Lord, that you are here. And Lord, you're here to speak to our hearts. You're here to challenge us in our lives and in our walk. You're here to speak to us, to enlighten us, to invigorate us. You're here to encourage us and inspire us. You're here, Lord, to enable us to see who you are and what you want for us, your church, in these days. And we would pray, dear God, that nothing or no one will hinder the presence of God, and nothing or no one will prevent the Spirit of God from moving and working and this gathering. We ask, Lord, that you'll cover us neath the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, dear God, that we might know nothing other than the power of the Holy Spirit working amongst us and working through us. We ask, Father, that you'll possess our hearts, our minds, our meditation, our motivations, our will, that you'll possess everything. Lord, you've said in your word, your glory will you not give to another. And we pray that nothing or no one will steal the glory of God in this gathering. We pray, dear Father, that he might be exalted, that he might be lifted up. And he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Our Father, we pray for this congregation and in this day. And Lord, this is the day that the Lord has made. And we will be glad and rejoice in it. There's nothing takes you by surprise. We thank you that you're the God who's all-seeing, all-knowing, all-present, everywhere at the same time. And Father, we pray that we may know something of that supernatural power of God in our gathering here this evening. Our Father, we pray for any that are unconverted in this gathering. We do pray, Father, that they'll hear the voice of God. And we pray, dear God, that they'll do something that they haven't done hitherto. They'll come in repentance and faith humbly before God and recognize their need and turn to Christ while there is yet time. Our Father, we pray for those in our congregation who are following afar off. We would ask, dear God, that you will draw them ever closer, ever nearer to yourself. Your word says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to thee. Our Father, we pray that you will draw by the cords of love, constraining by the power of God, bring each one into a new and deeper and more relevant and more real relationship with God. Our Father, we pray that you'll bless indeed. And Father, for those listening online, we would pray, dear God, that they too will have real blessing. Our Father, we pray that right into the homes where people are meeting and mixing and, Lord, are listening to this service, we pray, Father, that they will hear, that they will have an encounter with King Jesus. Remember those in our congregation who are ill and who are in beds of sickness. You know each and every one, and some of them were prayed for this morning. Remember Eileen Corrie's who has had a fall. And we pray, dear God, that you will mend that broken wrist and that you'll relieve her from any pain that she may be feeling, and may she be aware of the presence of God. And for those, Lord, known to us or unknown to us, thank you for the reasonable good news of Molly. But, oh God, there are many others, Charlie and June, and there's Billy and Margaret Weir, and there's Sammy and May Robinson, and others, Father, that need a touch from God. Will you draw near this evening, we pray. Now, Father, as we turn to your word, this is your word. And we pray that, oh God, you will give help as we ponder it and as we consider it. In Christ's name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. If you've got a Bible, then I'm inviting you to turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And the title is Christ or Jesus, our AAA Savior. Our AAA Savior. What does AAA mean? Well, the various nations and countries like to have a AAA credit rating. That means they're at the very top of the trustworthy pack, and they get a better interest rate. So, a AAA rating, credit rating. But on the way in, someone said to me, I've got that AAA thing. She didn't know what I was talking about. And they talked about an abnormal aortic aneurysm. And so, I don't know what that means, but it sounds serious. And then another AAA is the American Automobile Association. And then there's another AAA, there's the Anti-Aircraft Artillery. Well, tonight I'm talking about a AAA Jesus. He's top of the credit rating, he's on top of his game. He's a Savior who's able to save to the uttermost and deliver those who as yet are still sitting in darkness, bound and fettered in sin's nature and darkness and night, who feel that they can't get deliverance, can't get forgiveness, who feel that they can't get to a place of liberty and freedom and purpose in this life. Our Jesus is a AAA Savior. He does all things well, as the hymn writer says. And there is no need for you to be dragging your feet. There's no need for you to be in the valley of disillusionment. There's no need for you to be in the valley of discouragement, because whatever circumstance and situation you may feel that you're in, our Jesus is a AAA Savior. And I'm going to give you those three A's as part of the message. So let's read together from 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we're reading from verse 12 down to verse 17. Verse 12 down to verse 17. Can I say thank you for praying for me this morning? I have to say I'm just not firing in all four cylinders, but I'm still alive and I haven't got to heaven yet. I thought maybe I might, but I didn't. But here we are, and thank you for praying for us. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we're reading from verse 12 down to verse 17. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering, as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And we trust that the Lord will bless that reading of his word to our hearts. It is not difficult to get into trouble. It's not difficult to get into any kind of trouble. We can get into trouble with the police. We can get into trouble with our parents. We can get into trouble with the authorities. We can get in trouble with our neighbors. We can get into trouble with the boss. We can even get into trouble with the bank. But most of those individuals, there is often a relatively easy way out of that trouble. If you get into trouble with a wife, though, that's a different thing altogether. Because you're living with her, she knows you, she knows all about you, and she knows, and she gets historical, it's not hard. Paul had been in trouble, not with the law, but with the Lord. Every one of us had been born in trouble with the law, with the Lord. Every one of us have had that difficulty of our relationship with him. I can give you another sermon about Paul, but I want to use it as a brief outline as we see the difficulty and the wonderful deliverance that Paul had experienced. In verse 12, Paul had a life-changing encounter with Christ. It's interesting that he has not forgotten that day when he met with Christ, because he had been so far away, even though he was so religious. He had been so far away from God that whenever God came to him through the power of the Holy Spirit on that day that he was on the road to Damascus, he saw that great light, and that changed his life for eternity. And boy, how many lives have been changed because of that encounter that Paul had. He had a life-changing encounter. He was once a nobody, and now he's the soldier of the cross. Not only that, but not only had he a life-changing encounter, but Paul had a lasting encounter with Jesus Christ. It wasn't just a flash in the pan. It wasn't just some emotional, some kind of religious experience that seemed to fade away over the years. And who knows, and by the way, how many times has he faced much trouble and trial? How many times has he been beaten for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ? How many times have stones been thrown at him? How many times, as we spoke about last Sunday, where he was let down on the other side of a wall in a basket, and yet he never forgot, and he never was able to be pulled away or distracted or separated from that fact that one day he met Jesus and he was never the same again. Oh, it was a lasting encounter. Tell me, has your encounter been lasting? Are you still got that flame even through all the circumstances, even through all the disappointments, even through all the challenges that you've experienced? Have you still got that wonderful belief and memory of that day when you fell in love with Jesus? Here's the third one. Paul had a licensing encounter. Well, we see that Paul was brought into the ministry, he said here in this reading, in this passage. He had that authority from God to go and preach the word of God. His deliverance experience was a license for him to go and tell others of Jesus, the mighty to save. And every blood bought and every blood washed and every spirit-filled child of God has that license to go into all the world and gossip the gospel. Paul knew that day whenever God entered into his life, he wasn't just saved just to get to heaven. He was saved to bring others to heaven with him as well. And Paul said that day whenever he met Jesus, he brought him who was once a blasphemer, who was once far away from God. Now he's living the dream. Oh yes, he's living the dream. He's living the dream of one day he'll stand before his master and he'll cast his crown before him and say, "Worthy is the lamb that was slain." And he'll bring many souls with him to glory. Are you bringing souls with you to glory? Paul mentioned to me this evening before the meeting started, he says, "I got a phone call from a woman who wants to be led to Christ. Are you available?" I said, "I'm available for anything like that." And I'm not even beneath it, because Mark is well able to do that himself. A licensing encounter with Jesus. But Paul also had a lauding encounter with Jesus. "Unto the King immortal eternal I tell you, my dear friend, if the gospel doesn't put a song, if it doesn't put joy in your heart, and if it doesn't exalt Christ as we were singing about earlier in this gathering, if it doesn't give that desire to have him exalted and us raised down, to pull down that we might humble ourselves, then it hasn't been much. He's had a lauding encounter with Jesus, but he's had a liberating encounter. Look at verse 14. He's had a liberated, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Little wonder then that we would arrive at this title, the AAA Savior. There's not, religion can't do it for you, education can't do it for you, your good upbringing can't do it for you. Only Jesus Christ can turn a sinner into a saint. Only Jesus Christ can lift us from the dunghill of sin and shame and misery onto the rock Christ Jesus and give us joy unspeakable and full of glory. Only Jesus Christ can turn your life around. Only Jesus Christ can give you life worth living. Only Jesus Christ can give you something to look forward to. Men around us might fail and things might change, but Jesus Christ never changes. I trust that you're excited about him today. Every one of us are in trouble with Christ, with God. Every one of us were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and in sin did our mother conceive us. Every one of us were born on the broad road to a Christless hell. We are of all men most miserable without God. But glory to God, there's a AAA Savior who will come to you right now where you are, and he'll lift you out of where you are, and he'll bring you to the pathway of glory. And he'll set you on the rock, Christ Jesus. And he'll set you on the highway of holiness. And he'll put joy and glory in your heart. And it'll be singing all the way. In your spirit, that is. I managed to at least get looking at some of the service this morning. And it's not easy to get the atmosphere in the service when you're not here. And I would rather be in church than listening online. And I would rather be in church 100 times. But nevertheless, I was at least able to sing along with you and worship along with you and listen to the message. But I said how God's people need joy today. How God's people need something to lift them from the doldrums of despair and sadness. And I want to tell you the medicine that will bring us to that place is our AAA Jesus. Here's the first thing that came to mind as I was preparing this message. Here's the first day he's able to save. Here's the chief of sinners. Here's the one who was bringing people to court and who was holding the cloaks of those who stoned Stephen to death. And now he's exalting and he's lauding and he's licensed to bring the gospel to the whosoever. You know, whenever a politician comes, he's usually looking to your house, he's looking for a vote. When a mechanic comes, or if you need a mechanic, it's to fix your car. When an electrician, if you need an electrician, it's to do something with your electrics in your house. A doctor, as I was speaking with one this morning, is to do with sickness and disease and our remedy and our healing. A plumber will come to sort out the waterworks in your house. There's no point in a doctor coming to do your electrician's work, and there's no point in a plumber coming to do a surgeon's job. At least that's how I feel about it anyway. My Bible tells me, and Paul says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hebrews 7 and verse 25 says this, wherefore he is able. One of my brothers-in-law, maybe he's listening this evening, but he was going around the corner too fast and he ended up in the hedge. And his car got stuck in the hedge and in the gully. And the neighbours, I don't know whether it was because he was nosy or whether he's been helpful, but he came up the road and went Massey Ferguson 135. And there he was sitting in the middle of the road, spinning away, trying to pull this car out, and he couldn't get him pulled out. So he said to the son, will you go down and get the big tractor? And he went out and he got the big tractor. It was a Massey Ferguson. Maybe some of you boys will know what a Massey Ferguson is. It was a Massey Ferguson 178. It was about a half an inch bigger than the 135. And it sat sitting, spinning in the middle of the road. And of course he couldn't get the car pulled out, and because she was well stuck in an old stump of a tree. And there came this boy, and he was on a 40-foot lorry, and he was fully loaded with whatever was in his 40-foot lorry. And he says, you're having a wee bit of bother getting him out of the hedge. And we said, we are, and these tractors are sitting spinning. He says, put the chain on the back of the lorry. Remember, she's fully loaded. Remember, he's just passing by in his big Scania, whatever it was. Put on the chain without any bother whatsoever. He pulled him out. I want to tell you, Jesus is able to save. And it's not religion, and it's not regulation. And it's not good behavior, and it's not wisdom or education. Jesus Christ is able to save because he deals with the heart of the problem. It's not the fruits of your sinfulness that he deals with. He deals with the very heart of the problem. And I will say this to you, perhaps you're a wee bit confused as to what is the heart of the problem. And I'm going to tell you what the heart of the problem is. The heart of the problem is you're cut off from God. That's the heart of the problem. The Bible says that we're cut off from him, as Paul says in Ephesians 2. And we can dress ourselves up and look religious, and we can sing the hymns and repeat and rehearse the scriptures. But the reality is, and the fundamental problem is, you and I were born cut off from God. Let me read you a few verses as we tackle this issue of what the real problem is. Psalm number 7 and verse 11. God is angry with the wicked every day. And do you know who the wicked are? The gunman, the bank robber, the alcoholic, the drug addict. The wicked man, says David in Psalm number 9, is the wicked man is the one who forgets God. And here's what we read in Psalm 50. In verse 22 to verse 23. Now to consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me. And to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. Here's what it says in Job chapter 8 and verse 11 and following. Can papyrus grow without a nurse, without a marsh? Can reeds flourish without water? While it is yet green and not cut down, it withers before any other plant. So are the paths of all who forget God. Because of our sin, because of our separation, because of the condition in which you and I were born, we haven't got God in our thoughts. And the only way that you'll be converted is if God, by his Holy Spirit, will come to your heart and begin to draw and begin to work that wonderful plan of salvation and make you aware that you're lost. Make you aware that you're cut off from something. This is why the world is running around trying to find something and they don't know what it is. And they're delving into this and they're delving into that, looking for satisfaction. I want to tell you, in the authority of God's word, you will not find satisfaction in the world. The only way that we will find satisfaction is in God. And in God alone. Because of our sin and our separation from God, we're dead to him, and he's grieved with us. Our sin is the promotion of self and the demotion of God. Our sin is that which causes us to lift self up and to discount God. Man tries all sorts of things to get out of the trouble that he so easily gets himself into. The problem is that we begin in the wrong place. And tonight I don't want you to come saying to me, I've got a problem with this and I've got a problem with that and I want to be saved. I want to tell you, identify what your problem is. And your problem is, you were born cut off from God. Dead in trespasses and sins. Jesus Christ, James, he did fix it. And I'll tell you how he fixed it. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. You and I were born with our backs towards God. And I don't care how long and how far you go and how religious you get. That's the way you were born and that's the way you ought to be going. But your back was to God and life takes you further and further and further away. And you can sing your hymns, you can read your verses, you can be religious. You can even get office in the church. But it's not until you return and repent and return. That's the Hebrew meaning for repentance is return and return and turn around and return and go back to God. To wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, And too many people are starting in the wrong place. I want to get assurance of heaven. I want to know my sins are forgiven. And those are all good. And they're all great. But I want to tell you, it's the relationship with God that you need to focus on. And if you've never come back to God, to the only means that is available to us, because the hymn writer says, there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open to all who go in. At Calvary's cross, that's where we begin. When we come as sinners to Jesus. He came 2,000 years ago, yes, to redeem us, yes, to justify us with God, yes, to be the propitiation for our sins, and yes, to adopt us into the family of God, but he came to reconcile us to our Father. He's our perfect Savior. He is everything we are meant to be, and he's that perfect. He had a perfect relationship with the Father, and he is the perfect man, and he is the perfect Son, and he satisfies the righteous and the legal demands of a holy, just God. And he's your only hope tonight. I don't remember the preacher, but I remember him telling an illustration. And again, as last Sunday evening, I may get it completely wrong as far as the details of the story are concerned, but I want to tell you the principle of the story is still intact. A father and his son had a very harsh and bitter dispute, and ended up of the two of them never vowing never to speak again. The young man walked out of the house and didn't stand in the house for years, much to the broken heart of a loving mother. And day after day, week after week, the loving mother wrote to the son, "Son, please come back home. I'll talk to your father. Son, please come back home. I'll talk to your father." Of course, the son didn't come back because the schism was so stark and so striking. And it broke the mother's heart. And not too long after, the mother was on her dying bed. The son got word that her mother was dying. And suddenly the son found himself around the side of the dying mother. And the father that he had never spoken to for a long time was on the other side of the bed. Mother said to her husband, "I'm almost gone." She turned to her son and she says, "I'm just about to go." And with her last act and her last dying breath, she took the hand of her son and the hand of her husband, and she put their two hands together and took her last breath. And that's why he's able to save. In his dying breath, he took the hand of the Father, who's too holy to behold and to encounter and to embrace sin. And yet Jesus Christ on the cross embraced and took upon your sin and mine. And in his dying breath, he took the hand of the Father and the hand of the sons of men, and he put them together. He's able to save. That's the first day. Remember it. There's not one soul in this gathering can't be converted to Christ tonight. There's not one person that's come through that door tonight, but there's hope because he's able to save you. Don't tell me about your old addictions. Don't tell me about your old hurts and grievances. Don't tell me about those who aren't living the life. I want to tell you on the authority of God's word and according to what God's word says in Hebrews, he's able to save. Second word, second day, he's agreeable to save. He's agreeable. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Listen, you do not have to twist God's arm up his back. You don't have to twist God into submission to save you or your children. It is his joy to save. We read in Luke 15 and verse 10, "Likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Do you know, heaven gets more excited about somebody getting saved than we do. That's true. I can remember we were having a mission up in Tullygrawley. We were coming down into Cullibacky. This is about 30 years ago. We were coming down into Cullibacky full of the joys of the Lord because we'd led a number of people to Christ that night. Little did I know that I was travelling at 57 and a 30 because we were rejoicing that much. I never even took notice of the speed limit. And out comes this boy and he tries to steal my joy. And he issued me with a government letter saying, "We want some money from you." And here's the thing. Even though we've been done for speeding and we didn't get points then, we got a fine, it didn't steal my joy. If you've never led a soul to Christ, then you don't know what joy is. Another soul has come into the family of God. Another loved one, another member, a little less darkness in the world. And a little more light in the world. And heaven rejoices. Oh, it's his joy to save. I wonder, would there be some soul tonight who came into this church in darkness, but because of the constraining power of God and because of the authority of God's word and the presence of the Holy Spirit and the truth and the light of God's word, you would say yes for Jesus tonight for the very first time. I want to tell you, in the authority of God's word, heaven will throw a party. Will throw a party. You know what? God gets very bad press these days. He's often described, as you've often heard me saying, as a woolly-haired old gentleman totally disinterested in the affairs of men. And whenever things go wrong, people want to live without him, and they want to work without him, and they want to live life without him, and they want God in their lives. And then when things go wrong, it's all God's fault. And God, why did you let this happen? And God, why did you let that happen? And God, why did you let that happen to my loved one? God gets very bad press. I want to tell you, God gets blamed for an awful lot of things that he's not guilty of. And the devil gets credit for an awful lot of things that he shouldn't get credit for either. People have a weird imagination. They see God as a blessing machine, just put in the money and pull the arm of that old machine, and you expect to win all the time. I want to tell you, God's word says there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. Why? Because there's less darkness. And we enter into that purpose for which we were created. We begin to exalt his name. Stephen said earlier, one of the reasons that we come to church is to sing his praises. Praising God has always been in the heart of God. Yes, and to encourage one another. And there's nobody likes a bit of hearty singing than myself. If you want joy, joy, real joy, let Jesus come into your heart. It's his joy to save. Here's what Peter says in 2 Peter 3 and 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is in long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and live. If God didn't take joy in your salvation, we wouldn't have that verse. I put it to you that we wouldn't have Calvary. We wouldn't have Christmas. We wouldn't have church, and we wouldn't have Easter. We wouldn't have grace, and we wouldn't have mercy, and we wouldn't have the long suffering of God if it weren't his joy to save you. It's his judgment to save. God doesn't urge us to try harder, to pray longer, to do better, to be stronger. No, the secret is in the word, save. It's in the word, save. It may be that you miss the reality of what that means. To save your soul means to rescue you from the awful clutches of sin in which you find yourself. It's to rescue you from wasting your life in following your old selfish or devilish ways. And it's to bring you to that new life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, and all things become new. Paul says in this reading that we had that the reason that God had brought him from that dark secret, Paul, God could have totally wiped Paul off the face of the earth and got some religious individual and gifted him to preach the gospel. But God takes Paul and uses him. It's his judgment to save. It says in Ezekiel 36, verse 26 to verse 27, "And I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will take away the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them." That's more than a rescue mission from hell. That's a deliverance from the awful stain and power of sin, so we might once again live for him. God's not interested in you getting religious. He's more interested in you becoming holy, God-fearing, righteous, full of compassion, and displaying all the characteristics of the Son, of renewing and reviving that relationship and purpose for which you were created. It's his joy to save. It's his judgment to save. It's his gift to save. It's God's to give. See, God, if he desired, could wipe us all off the face of the earth, and he would start all over again. But that's not his way. God's ways are better than our ways. Instead of encountering Paul on the Damascus road, God would have been justified in striking him down. And God could, as I've said earlier, easily chosen some good, living, upstanding soul and given them the gifts that he gave Paul. Paul knew this. Paul knew this. He took me, a blasphemer, and he put me in the ministry. I was reading in the New Testament, I think I've mentioned this a few weeks ago, and it's something that I always believe, but I didn't see the verse in the New Testament until I uncovered it a few weeks ago. And it says, because Jonah had been delivered from the fish's belly, that's what caused Nineveh to take him seriously. Oh, what about Lazarus? That man who's lying cold in the grave for 4 days. And Jesus goes to that tomb and he says, "Lazarus, come forth." And very soon after, we see the people want to kill Lazarus as well, because Lazarus was effective testimony to the gospel of Christ. It's his gift to save. Not one of us come anywhere near the mark. That first display of temper, tantrum, selfishness, or the many fruit of the sinful heart that each of us have inherited, not one of us deserve it. One sin, or any sin, or all sin, however small, is condemned and under the condemnation of hell awaits. Hence we have the greatest verse in God's word. Well, I believe all of God's word is great, but perhaps the best known verse. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He's able to save. He's agreeable to save. And here's the last one, my triple A. He's available to save you now. It seems to me that since COVID struck a couple of years ago, this world has changed. And every time you try to phone this one or that one, I'm talking about whether it's the phone providers, whether it's the internet providers, whether it's the gas people or the electricity, we get on the phone, and because of COVID, We are short-staffed. I thought COVID was nearly gone, didn't you? It's not that long ago since I went on at a... It was an easy question to answer, but I hadn't the answer because I had to phone some company or other, and I was on the phone for an hour and 45 minutes. And what I do is I just ring them on my mobile phone. It's handy because the minutes are free. And I just put it on loudspeaker, and I listen to the wee messages over and over again, and I work away. Hands up those of you who do that. I thought I was... There's a few wise people in the church tonight. Well, I can remember hanging on there not that long ago, and it says this: you have rang us at a very busy time. And the problem with that is, well, I've rang in the morning, I've rang in midday, and I've rang just a minute before closing time, and I've rang 1 minute just at opening time. And I'm not talking about the pub, by the way. And it says, and you are very important to us. We will be with you in a moment. And I'm saying you're a liar. And then after an hour and 45 minutes, sorry, we have no staff available. He's always available. You'll not get a message from heaven saying you're important to us. Hold on. We'll be with you as soon as we can. And then after an hour and 45 minutes, we don't hear the message. Sorry, we're busy. Can you ring back at a convenient time? He's available. He's available. As many as the saint of God could stand to their feet this evening, and they could tell you, when I was in the depths of despair and discouragement, God drew near. When I was hurting and broken, God drew near. As many as a soul could say this evening, when I was just about to throw in the towel, God drew near. Because my Bible tells me his ear is ever open to a cry. Paul, as he went to Ephesus, said in Acts, he said, God is not far from any one of us. This pagan nation who worshipped the goddess Diana, God's not far from any one of us. Let me read this verse. Luke 5 and 17 says, now it happened on a certain day that he was teaching, and there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out in every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them all. I'm not going to break out in song, but if you would like to break out, you are very welcome. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. I'll tell you how you know he's coming close and near to your heart. You feel within your soul this drawing. There's an appeal within your heart. This appeals to me. This is something that I've been looking for. You feel the constraints. It's hard to explain it because everybody's different, but you feel this constraint, this sense of wooing, this sense of drawing. You feel as if God has singled me out and I'm the only person in the meeting and I want what he's talking about. It's that moment that he's drawn near. And here's what you have to do. It's interesting, though, it's interesting how many times we read in God's Word where Jesus seems to just happen to be in the right place at the right time. Well, I want to tell you, he has you in the right place at the right time. And it might be just as much about bringing you to the place as him being in the place, if you know what I mean. So what are you to do now? Call unto me, he says. Call on to me and I will answer thee. God personally answers the need of my heart. God, who almost sounds as if he's speaking my name, comes personally to me in a personal moment, in a place, and says, call on to me. Isn't it interesting that God would say to you, call him. As the hymn writer says, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Zacchaeus, he called. Bartimaeus, he called. The paralytic, he called. The 10 lepers, they called. Lord, look this way. It's me. I'm sinking in my sin. Help! Or I perish. There's nothing religious about calling. Call. The second little bit of advice that we give to you from God's word is, come unto me, he says. Matthew 11:28, come unto me all you that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Coming is an action of faith. If your faith doesn't cause you to act, it's not faith, it's sentiment. If I want a drink, I go to the tap. If I want some groceries, I go to the shop. If I'm not feeling great, I go to the dock. If I need something, I go to the place that I know will provide. And if you're hungry and thirsty for God, and you know you're sinking deep in your sin, then you act and you come to him. And the last thought is this, you confess unto him. Lord, Mark chapter 10, verse 36, what do you want me to do for you? Actually, it's Jesus asked that question. He wants you to be open. He wants you to be honest. He wants you to be humble. And he wants you to be hearing. He truly is a triple A savior, isn't he? He's able. He's agreeable. He's available. Would you prove him tonight? He's been a triple A savior for millennia. And tonight, he could be your triple A savior too. Let's bow together in prayer. Just as we're bowed in prayer, I'm not making any appeal, but if God has been speaking to your heart and I've described your condition, then would you please speak with me? I'll be out in the foyer of the church at the end of the service. But just a little bit of an announcement. Someone has asked me to lay on hands and pray with them on Tuesday night in the prayer meeting. On Tuesday night during the Bible study prayer meeting. We'll do it between the Bible study and the prayer meeting. And if you would like us to pray with you, you can attend that meeting as well. And we'll also include you in that. So let's bow together in prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you, we're so glad that we're conscious tonight that we've heard your voice. We truly can say you're a triple A Savior, the one who's able to save, the one who's agreeable to save, and the one who's available to save. Father, we pray that you will grant unto every soul in this gathering, whether where they're from, it matters not. Who they are, it doesn't matter. Lord, in this gathering, there will be that soul that will reach out in faith and trust the ever-living Savior. Lord, will you give grace tonight? We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to sing that song, the new version of Just As I Am. Stephen and Valerie's going to lead us. And then, Stephen, if you would close in prayer after we finish that, all right? Thank you.
Just as I am, with God.
Thank you for your presence with us tonight. We know that you've been here with us, Lord, and we thank you for the truth of the words that we've just sung. Just as I am, I would be lost, but mercy and grace my freedom bought. Lord, we thank you that many of us know the truth of those words, Lord, and we pray that if anyone here tonight, Lord, isn't your child, hasn't put their trust in you, Lord, we pray that they do that. Thank you again, Lord, for your love for us and your care for us, and we pray that you go ahead of us into a new week, and take us home safely, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.